Okay, we're here. We're going to start on the Gemara at the bottom, Nun Zayin Amud Bet. The Gemara is challenging now a position that was stated by Rabbi Meir. The second to last line, it says, "V'savar Rabbi Meir, kol ervash beit din shalisom mitin alea benoach muzhar alea." Does Rabbi Meir really believe that any erva that a Jew would be prosecuted by a beis din and would be executed by a beis din shel mato of a bnei Yisrael, that's what a ben noach is muzhar alea? That's what ben noach, the arayot that a ben noach is restricted in? V'hatanya, we have a brisa that seems to indicate that that's not true. It says, ger, shaita, horato, shelo, biktusha. He was conceived while he was still not Jewish. V'yaleidato, biktusha. And then he was born after his mother had already converted. So, yeshlo she'er ha'em, ve'enlo she'er ha'av. He has relationships, meaning that he has preserved his familial relationships through the mother, but he does not have familial relationships through the father. So Rashi explains over here, what does it mean? Shorotol shelo bikdusha, chol ger, shenitgayer kekatan shenolad, achshav, bloav ve'em v'krovim dami. Any ger who converts is as if he has no relatives whatsoever. It's as if he has no mother, no father. It's a totally new entity. Vein alav kurva mikodem lechein. And anything that existed before, any relatives that existed from before, that's all been severed. So now, if that's the case, then why do we say over here that he has any relationship? Why through his mother is a relationship, father? No. Should be no to everything. So on that, Rashi explains, Amiu, Rabbanon hu de gozer alei, bechol ha'asurot lo. So there, wait, the Rabbanon said that anything was asur to him, bigyuto, before he converted, mishum shelo yomru, bayim mikdusha chamra l'kdusha kala. So anything he was restricted in before he became a Jew, he will remain restricted in when he becomes a Jew. Not midoraisa, but only midorabonon. Why? So Rashi says the reason is because we don't want him to think, oh, now I converted, things got better for me, things are easier, I don't have as many restrictions. No. It should come from a, if he had a certain restriction or a certain restricted lifestyle, becoming a Jew should not make it any more permissible. He should be equally as impermissible in these items. So therefore, we preserve what he had while he was a goy, and we say that that kurva remains midrabonon. Tosos brings an additional reason over here, which is atelechlufe, that we could come to mix up a situation, which is the possibility of getting mixed up with another Jew. So Tosos has two reasons why we preserve it for the goy. Is one, so that Jews do not see what the goy is doing, and now they think he's a Jew because he converted, and they're going to think they can do it. Or, and the second reason is because we don't want to say mikdusha kala, lukdusha chamura, things got more permissible. So for both of those reasons, Tosos gives examples where each one of them will apply. But from Tosos, there's this additional reason of atel chlufe, which is that we'll get mixed up. Now, why do we only apply atel chlufe by the aim and not by the av? So Tosos explains that everybody knows that by a father, first of all, that there is kurvat, that there's relationships or relatives for a Jew. Plus, everybody knows by a goy that there are no relationships through the father because they were mafkir, they're yuchsin in that way. But on the aim side, it's not so clear. So on the aim side, they don't know. Both from the perspective that Yisrael is restricted from the kurva of the aim, that we need an additional limud actually in other places. Plus here, by the goy, that he should be, if he's not restricted in the aim, then we would think not just because he's a goy, but that's because he's a Jew, and Jews aren't restricted in the aim, so we don't want that to happen. So Tosis gives two reasons, Rashi gives one, and that will change the actual nature of the question here. It's not so significant, but will change what the question is. Now, what are the cases here? Haketzat, nasa chuto mina aim. If he was married to a sister through his mother, yotzi, he must divorce her. Mina av, on the other hand, if he was married to a sister through his father, they shared a common father, then yikayim, he can keep his sister as his wife. Achota av mina aim. If he is married to his father's sister through their mother, meaning that it's his aunt, and his aunt through his father's his paternal aunt, but they share a common mother. That's their relationship. Yotzi, he has to divorce her. Min ha'av, on the other hand, if it's his paternal sister, his aunt, paternal aunt, he can, through their father, they share a common father, then yikayim. Achota aim, if it's his mother's sister, I mean his aunt, his maternal aunt, mina aim, if they share a common mother, then yotzi, again, he has to take him out. So anybody who is related through the mother is all what we said before, he has kurva through mothers. So therefore, if they have some sort of relationship through the mothers, they must yotzi. And then if the relationship is only existent because of father, common father, in that instance, they do not have to get divorced. Now, the one exception to that rule might be, achota aim, mina av. And his achota aim, his mother's sister, but they share a common father. So it's his aunt, it's his maternal aunt, and they share, his mother and his aunt share a common father. In that case, Rabbi Meir says, Yotzi. In that case, he says that he should divorce her. Now, Rabbi Meir agrees that technically this is Kurva Min Av, they share a common father, and therefore they should not have to get divorced over here. Nevertheless, Rabbi Meir requires that he get divorced over here, or they separate, because we're afraid of Gzeira Mishum Achoto Min Aim. We're afraid of a mother-sister through a common mother. Why are we more worried over here? We're more worried over here because it's going through the maternal line. Since it's going through the maternal line, when it's through the paternal line, then you have a father, and then a father, that's all the common denominators are fathers, then we don't worry about it. But over here, true that the erva is created between the aunt and the mother, and they have a common father, so it's really kurva of the ab. But nevertheless, since it's going through his mother, there's a shame aim there, and therefore, because of that, where it goes there, according to Rabbi Meir, that it shouldn't be, that it shouldn't, he should get divorced in that case. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe that when it goes there, that the Chachamim yikayim, the Chachamim say that you are mikayim over here. Why? Because the Chachamim say, first of all, let's say that he mikayim. This is not just unique to horato shlo b'kdusha v'le'ato b'ksha. It's also true if he was horato v'le'ato shlo b'kdusha. If all this happened prior to his converting, all of this would also be true. The reason that we give an example of, you know, horato shlo b'kdusha v'le'ato b'ksha is only to exclude the case of where he's both conceived and born when after the conversion already. In that case, when he's dummy li Yisrael, he's too similar to Yisrael, Gozer Bei Rabbi Meir, right? Then for sure we're Gozer over there because he looks exactly like Yisrael. So in that case where he looks exactly like Yisrael, even though technically he has no relatives because he's born to a ger and all of his familial relationships are broken, even though he's born as a full Jew now, anything beforehand is not really considered a relative. Nevertheless, we say no, because he's too much like a Jew. But on the other hand, if he's completely born Shelo B'Kdusha, then the same dinim will apply as to when he was conceived Shelo B'Kdusha and he's born B'Kdusha. Because there, at least Rashi is suggesting that he may not, it won't be a problem, according to Rabbi Meir, v'ate lechlufe. So the Chachamim say, we don't worry about this in this instance. Sheyah Rabbi Meir, Meir, Kolver Shehi Mishum She'er Eim. Any relationship that comes to a mother, Yotzi. You have to separate from Mishum Shera. If it comes through the father, then Yikayim. Then you can keep it. So again, here the Shera Aim is not only a Shera Aim, meaning that a mother that creates the relationship, but your mother herself, if she has something that looks similar, that's where Rabbi Meir's goes there in that case. But when it comes to the Shera Av, when it comes to relationships that are developed through the father, that we don't worry about at all, or through fathers, we don't worry about that. Now, Umutar Be'eshet Achiv, he can marry his brother's wife, and he can marry his aunt, but this is an aunt not through a blood relationship, but through marriage. She can marry his aunt that's married to his father's brother. Any other of the arayot are included, that are permissible to him, what does that include? Eshet aviv, even his father's wife. I mean, obviously that's not his mother, but his father's wife, if after his father passes away, then he can go ahead and marry his father's wife after she passes away, and that's true of all these cases here. It's not permissible to marry his uncle or his uncle's wife or his brother's wife until they pass away. That's fine. He can do those, all these things, because there's no concept within Bnei Noach of Eshet Ach. Ishut does not exist. I mean that all the relationships, all the arayot of Bnei Noach are blood relationships, not marriage relationships. So therefore, all these that are arayot for Jews, because we have both marriage relationships and blood relationships are restricted, so therefore a Jew couldn't do this. But for a guy who is coming as a Ben Noach, is converting, now he has no relatives, midoraisa, so they can marry anyone. But we want to preserve what he had as a Ben Noach, since this is not something he had as a Ben Noach. He was not restricted in marriage relationships, so too he won't be restricted in these marriage relationships once he has converted. Now, we included in the Shar Kol Arayot, that's included here, is Eshet Aviv. What we did not include, what is still restricted, is Kalato, his daughter-in-law, and Achot Ishto, and his wife's sister. Neither of those are included, meaning that they are impermissible. Now the reason is, Kalato, his daughter-in-law, is going to be impermissible because he was born B'Kdusha. That means that his daughter-in-law is also going to be a situation where his son was born B'Kdusha, and therefore he does have a relationship with his son, and Kalato would be restricted as like any other Jew. And the other thing that he's still restricted in is achot ishto, and that comes from, we're going to see in a second, that if he marries two women, one, a mother and a daughter, we tell him to only keep one of them and to remove the other. And so Rashi says it's similar by shtei achayot, two sisters. Just like two sisters are restricted, we're going to say keep one and not the other. Just like by a mother and a daughter, we say keep one and not the other. We'll say the same thing by two sisters in this case. So now let's see that inside here. Nasa isha ubita, someone who marries a woman or is married to a woman and her daughter. So this is like any gerah. She says not the case where he's horato shalobik dusha and later tobik dusha, but any gerah that comes along and he has already two wives and they're a mother and a daughter. So what he should do over here? Koneis achat umutzi achat. He can marry one, keep one as a wife, and he should remove the other. He should divorce the other. Ulechatchila lo yichnos. In the first place, it really should not be kones whatsoever. So here the Gemara doesn't explain how to reconcile between these two issues. That's actually a Gemara in Yivamot that reconciles over there. And in the Gemara in Yivamot, it talks about a case of anusat. It's a case of anusa that it was a relationship that was developed through a rape at the mother and daughter. And in that case, he can make a decision to keep one and to remove the other, whereas if the relationship is a real mother-daughter relationship from a proper marriage, then lechatchila lo yichnos, he shouldn't take either of them. So now, meita ishto, if his wife passes away, mutar b'chamoto, he can marry his mother-in-law. Again, because when he converted, there's no relationships that are left. Once his wife passes away, then there's nothing to talk about, because there is Ben Noach is not muzhar an chamato. Ben Noach does no restriction in a case of a mother-in-law, so that we don't have to worry about. And then about buying mikdusha kala, the kdusha chamura, and something's now mutar that wasn't before. It was mutar to Ben Noach, and now it's mutar to him now as well. And since he's a ger shenit gayer, it's as if he has no relatives. We let him marry his mother-in-law after his wife passes away. And there are those that say Asur b'chamato, he's still restricting his mother-in-law. It's not really part of our question over here. So now, the question according to Rashi is that we have sets of relationships or arayot that are mutar to the Ben Noach and sets that are not, or that are restricted. And it's interesting, the ones that are restricted, which are the relationships through mother, common mother relationships, those are relationships that in Jewish law are punishable by karet, but not by beis din. And yet, we see that they are restricted. On the other hand, we have things like Ishid Aviv and Chamuto, which are Isurim that we will receive Skila if they're punishable in Jewish law. And yet we see over there that the Goy or the Ben Noach is permitted in these items or permitted in these Arayot. So how could Rabbi Meir make a statement? How does Rabbi Meir make a statement that somehow draws a connection or some sort of parallel between Arayot that are punishable by Beis Din, that is what a Ben Noach is restricted in? This all falls apart in this Braisa, according to Rabbi Meir. Here, Rabbi Meir saying things that are karet for a Ben Israel are restricted for a Ben Noach, and items that are punishable by Skila for a Ben Israel are now being permitted to a Ben Noach. So it doesn't uphold anything that Rabbi Meir said. That's a question according to Rashi. According to Tosafot, the question is actually only from one side, because the fact that the individual is restricted in his mina'im from the mother's side is not midoraisa. That's all midrabanon. And since midrabanon, the midrabanon is an issue of ate lechlufe, that he might come mixed up with a Jew, and a Jew will think that kurvata aim is okay. So that's why we restrict it over here. So in Ochanami, right, Rabbi Meir would agree that the aim is not a problem because there's no mita based in. But this is ate lechlufe, so therefore they were gozer in this case. On the other hand, the question is really from the other side, which is how could it be permissible to marry Chamoto and to marry Eshet Aviv? Those are cases of Skila. Cases of Skila, Rabbi Meir said, if it has Beis Din punishes it here for Yisrael, then a Ben Noach should be restricted. And here we have cases of Skila for a Ben Yisrael, and yet a Ben Noach is permitted. So that's the question. The answer is, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Meir aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, ha Rabbi Meir aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir has two positions. He was a Talmud of both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, Rabbi Meir's position in one case is the position of Rabbi Akiva, and his other statement in the Braisa is the position of of Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara is going to explain that, which is, therefore, the original statement that connected between Mitot Beis Din of Israel and Arayot of Ben Noach, that's according to Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, the Braisa that we just quoted, that seems to say Kurvat Aim is a problem, but Kurvat of marriage is not a problem, right? Which undermines that previous statement, is really according to Rabbi Eliezer. And now we're going to bring a brice that explains the two positions of the two positions here. That is, the Tanya, Al kein yazov ish et aviv ve'et imo. This is by Adam Rishon, talks about what the normal course of a person's life would be, is that eventually a man will leave his mother and father, and v'davak mi'ishto, and then he'll go and marry a woman. So now they're going to darshan this pasuk. Al ken yazov ish et aviv v'et imo. He'll leave his mother and father. What is that restriction of aviv imo? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, aviv. Aviv means achot aviv, that he's restricted in his father's sister. Imo is achot imo, means his mother's sister. And obviously Rashi says, kol shechein achoto. Of course, his own sister he would be restricted in. But what you see from this, from Rabbi Eliezer, that the restrictions are blood relationship restrictions. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no. Aviv means eshet aviv. Aviv is a restriction from marrying his father's wife. And imo is imo mamash, his mother herself. He's not allowed to marry his mother. So Rabbi Akiva introduces that it's not only blood relationships, but it's also marriage relationships that are restricted. Now, v'davak, it says that he'll go and he'll marry someone else. V'lo b'zachar, that means when you meet davak, and the way Rashi explains davak over here, is somebody who'll go and have a relationship that has a mutual benefit and mutual hanoah from bia. That's a relationship that will be sustained or is permitted. That's a man and a woman. A man and a man lacks those qualifications, and therefore it's excluded. So lo bezachar, biishto, velo beishet chaveiro. Right, that he has to stay with his wife, and he may not, or is impermissible for him to marry another man's wife. So that's eishet ish. Vayud basar echad, and they will be as if one. Mishenasim basar echad. Those that can become basar echad mean that they can produce an offspring together, which will come to basar echad. Yatsu behema v'chaya shenasim basar echad. On the other hand, bestiality, the relationships or relations with animals will never produce basar echad, and therefore they are restricted. So Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Kiva agree to the point that mishkab zachor and behema, bestiality, homosexuality and bestiality are restricted to a ben noach, and so is a shadish. Those are givens, those three are givens. What they do argue about beforehand is the issue of what it means aviv v'imo. Rabbi Elazar says aviv v'imo are blood relationships. Rabbi Kiva on the other hand seems to explain it's your mother and a marriage relationship. So now let's understand these differences. The Gemara is going to explain each one of them as we go through. It's going to dissect this braisa. So Amar Mar, Rabbi Elazar Omer, aviv, achot aviv. When it says aviv in the pasuk, it means that you're restricted from marrying the father's sister. So ema aviv mamash. Why don't you say that it's restricted from marrying his father means sleeping with his father? It says behind over davak v'lo b'zachar. Mean that no, you can't do that because we already have a restriction against homosexuality. So why do I need an additional restriction for the father if we're already restricting homosexuality? So ema eshet aviv. So why do you have to say it's literally the father? Say that it's his father's wife. Says, Hainu biishto v'lo b'eshet chaveiro. Wait, his father's wife is also married. That's a problem of his friend's wife, which we also have a restriction for. Eshet chaveiro, eshet ish is already restricted. Why do I need his father's wife to be restricted as well? So, emalachar mita. Wait a minute, maybe there's a case after his father passes away. True, when his father's alive, it's a problem of eshet ish. But once his father passes away, there's no longer eshet ish. So let's say the restriction is eshet aviv after his father's passed away. So it says, Dumyo di imo. There's a parallel, there's a hekesh between aviv and imo and the pasuk. Ma imo delav ishut. Just like we're talking about the mother, we're not talking about a marriage relationship, we're talking about a blood relationship. Av aviv delav ishut. So too, when we're talking about the father, we're talking about a blood relationship and not a marriage relationship. So the only way to explain it, can't explain it's the father literally, can't explain it's his father's wife because of the hekesh di imo. So what you're left to explain is that it's got to be a blood relationship of the father. Blood relationship of the father is his sister. Now, imo, how did Rabbi Lezer explain imo? Imo is achot imo, the sister of his mother. Ve'ema imo mamash, why don't we say it's his mother, literally his mother? So he says, Hainu bishto v'lo b'eshet chaveiro. His mother is also someone's wife. She's someone's wife, she's already excluded from him because of eshedish. So ve'ema lachar mita, well, maybe her husband will pass away. Right, if the husband passes away, then the only restriction is imo and not of a married woman. So when it says dumya da aviv, she has to be similar to the term aviv. Ma aviv de lav mamash. Just like by aviv, it cannot be taken literally. Afimo de lav mamash. So too, by the mother, it has to be a case that it's not taken literally. So what's a case where it's not taken literally? That's a case where it's her sister. So that's how Rabbi Lezer learns out that the blood relatives are restricted in this case. Blood relatives of achot aviv and achot imo. Those are the restrictions, and not Eshet Aviv and not Eshet Imo. So Rabbi Elazar will be the author of our Braisa over here, the author of the Braisa that restricts Kirva through the aim, blood relationships through the mother, but permits Eshet Aviv and Eshet Achiv, he permits, because he has no restriction from the Pasuk. So Rabbi Elazar is the author of the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva Omer, on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, Aviv is Eshet Aviv, is his father's wife. Ve'ema Aviv Mamash. Why don't you say it's literally his father? So Hainu V'davak V'lo B'zachar, that we already have, because we have the Pasuk tells us homosexuality is precluded. So why do you need something separate by the father? That's the same thing. So Yochi Eshet Aviv Nami Hainu B'ishto V'lo B'eshet Chavero. Well, Rabbi Akiva is explaining Aviv to mean his father's wife. His father's wife is also an Eshet Ish, and that's also restricted in the Pasuk. So La'achar Mita. No, that's right. Eshet Aviv is for the case after death. I mean, once the father passes away, there's still a restriction beyond the restriction of Eshet Ish. There's a restriction of marrying your father's wife. Imo. So what's the case of Imo? Imo Mamash. That's restrict his mother. So Hainu B'ishto V'lo B'eshet Chavero. His mother's also married. His mother's married. That's how she had him. Say, mother's married. Why isn't that enough of a restriction of Eshet Ish? Why do you need Imo Mamash? Says, Imo Me'anusato. No, it's a case where his mother was not married. He was born of a relationship that was not through marriage or through rape, and therefore he does not, his mother does not have a marriage relationship that produced him. So therefore he's restricted in Imo, right? Again, he's restricted in Imo because she's literally his mother, and not because she's an Eshet Ish, because she isn't an Eshet Ish. And here the Gemara can't answer La'achar Mita, after death of the husband, because that is Eshet Aviv. That's exactly the case of Eshet Aviv. Because if it's after that death of his father, then his mother is Eshet Aviv. And we already explained that in the first half of the Pasuk. So Rabbi Akiva learns that Eshet Aviv is restricted, and that's a case of Skila. And therefore, since it's Mumat Ayadei Beis Din for a Jew, then it would be restricted for a Ben Noach. Imo means literally his mother. Right? That's a restriction of his mother also, which is punishable by death in a Beis Din. And he'll be the author of Rabbi Meir's statement that connects between the punishments in Beis Din and the punishments of, or the restrictions against a Ben Noach. Amar says, but Mike Mifligit, what's the argument between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lazar and understanding Imo Vaviv in the Pasuk? So Rabbi Lazar Savar, Aviv dumyadimo, v'imo dumyadaviv. So that we want to create some sort of parallel, because there's a hekesh in the puzzle between mother and father. So we want to create a situation where the mother and father are representing the same type of arayot. Below mishkachala, the only possibility to find that is be'achva, is through blood relationship, but through sisters, meaning the brotherly or sisterly relationship. That's the only way you can create such a situation where the father and mother are talking about the same situation. Rabbi Kiva, mutav l'ukma be'eshet aviv. He'd rather explain it to be eshet aviv, deikre ervat aviv, because for a Jew, when it, in parshat arayot, in achrei mot, it calls a a person, a chot of, it calls Eshet Aviv, the reason that you're restricted in Eshet Aviv is because it's Ervat Aviv. On the other hand, Afuke Achot Aviv, that which Rabbi Lezer says Aviv refers to over here means his father's sister, in the Parshat Arayot of Achrimot, over there the Torah says, you know why you're restricted in your father's sister? Is because She'er Aviv. Doesn't call him Ervat Aviv, but rather She'er Aviv Ikre. So Ervat Aviv lo Ikre, but it's not called Ervat Aviv. So Rabbi Akiva says that Eshet Aviv is much more an explanation of the term Aviv, because he's called Ervat Aviv, as opposed to his sister, which is called She'er Aviv, but not Ervat Aviv. So I'm looking at the word Aviv, it can't be literally his father. Now I have a choice of two possibilities as someone who is restricted because of his father, sister and wife. Well, wife is called, the reason she's restricted is because of his father herself. The sister is restricted because of She'er Aviv, but it's not called Erva. So therefore Rabbi Akiva says, or favors, making the word Aviv over here to mean Eshet Aviv and not Achot Aviv. So now, the Gemara says, Tashma, we're going to question their positions, challenges their positions. Vayikach Amram et Yocheved Dodato. Amram marries his aunt. His aunt was Yocheved, the sister of Kahat, his father, and he marries her. Mav lav Dodato mina aim. Oh, how is she his aunt? Is she his aunt because they share his father, Kahat, and Yocheved share a common father and mother? So then that would be a problem over here. What do you have? You have Kurvata aim. You have a relationship through the mother, and there's kurva created through this mother, and you're saying that it was permissible. Amram married his dodato, and they were only restricted at that point in time in the arayot of Ben Noach. So this would be a problem for Rabbi Eliezer, who says that there's a problem with marrying your father's sister. Achot, when we talked Aviv Vimo, meant Achot Aviv and Achot Imo, and this is a classic case of Achot Aviv. So Gemara says, no, that they were only related, we could solve that problem. No, how is his dodato? No, dodato menav. That Yocheved and Kahat were only related because they had a common father, but not necessarily that they had a common mother. Tashma, another issue. Gam, this is what Abraham explaining about to Avimelech about Sarah, his wife, when he's explaining why did he call her his sister. It says, Gam amna achoti bat avihi. She is my sister through the father. Ach lo batimi, but not through the mother. Michlau, but that, from that it implies that bata ema surah, that had it been through the mother, then it would have been a problematic relationship. So if that's the case, it would be a problem for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that there is no restriction when it comes to achot. So you see the restriction over here, or at least what's implied from the pasuk, is had she been a sister through the mother, then that would have been a problematic relationship. But because they were a sister through the father, that was okay. So that's a problem for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva thinks that achot is not an issue at all. So then, how is this possible that Avram was explaining it this way according to Rabbi Akiva? Gemara says, wait a minute, let's take a step back here. But this, bro, does this whole case make sense? Achoto avi? Since when was Sarah his sister? Bat achiv avi? She was the daughter of his brother. She was his niece. So why is the pasuk, why are you calling her achoto? Bekevan dahachihu, lo shna minav, velo shna minaim. If it's his niece, it shouldn't matter. There's no issue whether it's through the father or the mother. His niece is permitted. Sharya. Ella, so what's the question? So then what was Avram explaining to Avimelech then? Why is he saying, well, through my father, not through my mother? Elhotam hachi kamarle. This is how he explained to Avimelech. Kurva dachot itli bahada. I have a sisterly relationship with her. Not literally a sister, because she was his niece, but sister in the sense that b'nei banim harihim kebanim. She is like a sister to me because she's my brother's daughter. My brother's daughter is like a daughter to my father. And so therefore we are like brother and sister. But mi'aba v'lo mi'ima. But our relationship or that connection is through the father and not through the mother. Meaning that her father is my brother. So it comes through, the relationship comes through the father and not through the mother. Now that has no implications in terms of Arayot or Ben Noach. Avram just wants, as Rashi says, to say the kushta the milta. He wants to explain what he said before. When he said achotiat, when he explained that if she was my sister, he wants to explain, what does it mean she was my sister? Well, she is my sister, she's my niece, but she's not my sister. When you say banei banim harik and banim, and when I say that, that's through my brother. That relationship comes through my brother. So he was just trying to explain what he had said to Avimelech before, but not to give us any halachic implications from this statement. And based on that, it won't be a problem for Rabbi Akiva. So Tashma, Mipnei ma lo nasa Adam et bito. Why didn't Adam marry his daughter? I mean, as the Tosfos explains over here, after Chava, who should have been punished by the death penalty for eating by the Eitz Hadaat, then he should have been permitted, or the replacement should have been his daughter. In order that his son could marry his sister. So in order to populate the world. Because it says, the world was created or started with chesed. Why is that? Right? So why was it started with chesed? Because it says in the pasuk, on the restriction of marrying one's sister, that it says chesed hu. So what does it mean, chesed hu? Chesed hu teaches us that there was at one point a permissibility of brother and sister for a chesed that was allowed the world to be populated, but otherwise, halavachi asira. Had it not been from that, it would be nasur. So now you see here is a relationship, brother-sister relationship, that would be asura. So if that's the case, again, then it's a problem for the position of Rabbi Akiva, because according to Rabbi Akiva, the restrictions are not about achoto. So here again, we see there's such a restriction of sister. Where it says, no, kevin dishtari ishtari, that restriction of sister was only then. Once Hashem permitted Cain to marry his sister, then all of that fell away. I mean, there's no longer a restriction of achoto that exists, and that's how it won't be a problem for Rabbi Akiva. Amravuna kuti mutar bebito. A kuti can marry his daughter. Now, he's saying this both according to Rabbi Eliezer and according to Rabbi Akiva, because the suggestion now of Rav Huna is that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva have the arayot that are listed in the pasuk. The fact that pasuk enumerated the exact arayot that are asurot, or that are asurim, those arayot are the only ones that are restricted. Nothing else is restricted. And since in the pasuk it doesn't mention daughter, a daughter would be permissible. So if that's the case, why didn't Adam HaRishon marry his daughter? So that comes back to what we just said before. It was because that was a chesed. In order that Cain should have someone to marry, in order that they could populate the world. Vika Damri, and there's some that say that where Rav Huna's statement was the opposite. Amar Rav Huna, Kuti Asur Bibito. Kuti is not allowed to marry his daughter. Teda, I can prove that to you. Why? True, it's not mentioned in the Psukim that Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Kiva bring, but their shade comes from another one. What's another reason, which is Shalom Asa Adam Bito, because Adam Arishon never married his daughter. Velohi, and that's not a good proof. The reason over there is Kadeshi Sa Kaina Tachoto, in order to preserve the ability for his daughter to marry Kain, Mishum de Olam Chesed Yibane, in order that the world should be populated. So the reason that he didn't marry his daughter is not because she was restricted, but rather for a practical reason, which is that is what allowed the world to be populated. If you actually look in the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Tet, Alocha Hei, says for Ben Noach, it says Sheish Arayot Asuroto Ben Noach. A Arayot that are restricted with Ben Noach are these. Ha'em, the mother, Eshet Ha'av, his father's wife, Eshet Ish, right, a married woman, Achoto Mi'imo, his sister through his mother, V'zachur U'behema, and a male homosexual relationship, and Behema. Why? Shenem Ra'alken Yazov Ish Et Aviv, Zu Eshet Aviv. Et Imo Kimashma'a, that's like Rabbi Akiva. V'davak B'ishto, V'lo B'eshet Chaveiro. B'ishto, V'lo Zachur. V'yul Basar Achad, Otzi Behema Chayav Ha'of. Shein hu v'heim basar achad. So it's basically the braisa according to Rabbi Akiva's position. Ah, what about, where did he get achot imo from? Where do you get the fact that a sister through the mother is achotot mi imo is pretty problematic. That he gets from Avram Avinu. Because by Avram Avinu it says, achoti bat avihi, ach lo bat imi, vatili lisha. That she was my sister through my father and not through my mother. Implying that if she was his sister through the mother, it would be a restricted relationship. And based on that, the Rambam Paskins basically like Rabbi Akiva, plus the additional here position of the that comes from the case of Avram explaining to Avimelech, even though according to Rabbi Akiva, the Shitato, it would seem that he tried to answer otherwise, that the case here was just a case of Tikkun Lashon, not implications about exactly who is restricted. Takes the two brides, it takes Rabbi Akiva's position, plus the idea that there's she'er through the aim, but he learns it out from Amram Avinu that Achoto Min Ha'im is also restricted, like the position of Rav Huna over here, which suggests that the restrictions are exact. I mean, the fact that they were mefarit, that they detail the restrictions, those are the only restrictions and no other restrictions of Arayot. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Frista, Eved mutar bi'imo u'mutar bi'bito. An Eved Kenani is permissible to marry his mother, and it's permissible to marry his daughter. Why? Yatza michlal kuti. He's no longer a Ben Noach anymore, so all the restrictions of Ben Noach fall away. V'lechlal Yisrael lo ba. But he's also not a Jew yet. So he has no restrictions of a Jew. So he doesn't have Arayot of a non-Jew, and he doesn't have Arayot of a Jew. And therefore he can marry his mother or his daughter. Everything is free for him. Ki'ata Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina, Ben Noach, Shi'ichad Shifcha la'abdo, a Ben Noach, a master, who designates a Shifcha for his Eved, Ubala, and then the master sleeps with this Shifcha, Neragala. He is punished by death, because now he married, or he slept with an Eshedish. So Me'imat, when does she become an Eshedish? When he designates this woman to be the Shifcha to be for his Eved, when does she really become an Eshedish that would provide this restriction? So Amar Rav Nachan, Shekarula Revita de Planya. When she's already known as the woman of this guy, this man's girl. I mean, that once she's known or her name is associated with this individual, then they're classified as being married. Me'imat Hatarata, so for divorce, when is she considered again to be a free woman? So Amar Rav Huna, Mishipara Rosha Bashuk. That when she walks in the shuk with her hair uncovered, that's an indication that she's no longer a married woman. As Rashi points out over here, is that shayu regilot afner chiyot anusuot shelo letzeit berosh parua. In their day, even non-Jewish women, when they were married, kept their hair covered. They did not go with their hair uncovered in the shuk. Obviously, adds an additional or an interesting dimension to the halacha of married women covering their hair. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, ben Noach shebal ishto shelo kedarka. A Ben Noach, a non-Jew who sleeps with his wife, shelo kedarka, chayav. He's chayav. Why? Shneimar v'davak b'ishtov v'lo shelo kedarka. It says that davak, and as Rashi explains over here, davak means that, since davak means that both of them get hana from the relationship, and over here, if he's a baal ishto shelo kedarka, he's the only beneficiary, the only one who gets hana, and not the wife. And therefore, she would be restricted and punished. Samarava, mi'ika mide de Yisrael lo mechayiv v'kuti mechayiv. Wait, is there anything that a Jew is not going to be held accountable for and a non-Jew would be held accountable for? Meaning that a Jew has a higher form of dusha. And yet over here, the Ben Noach is going to be restricted in having a relation shalokidarka, whereas a Jew would not be restricted in this. There are questions on Rashi's explanation over here about what the exact problem of Davak Bishto is over here about the terms of Hana'ah, but Tosus asks a question here, and he asks this question in other places in Chas, which it seems to be implied from the Gemara that there's no problem to sleep with his wife from here, it seems like, the Israel, to sleep with his wife Shaloki Darka, and also other forms of Bi'ah that are mentioned in the Gemara that will not end up in a possible conception seem to be Muteret. And Tosfos asks on that, wait a minute, isn't there a restriction against, number one, Hashchata Zera, of wasting seed, and a person who has Bi'ah that doesn't end up or result in a possible conception, that would be a case of wasting seed. Plus, the Gemara in other places talks about Aaron Ve'onan. Ve'onan are punished because, according to the Gemara, they had Bi'ah with their Tamar, their wife, Shelo Kedarka. So if they have Shelo Kedarka over there, then that's a restriction. It seems like Hashem punishes for that. So how can we say that it's mutar in these cases? So Tosfos here answers, and he answers this in other places the same way, even though it doesn't seem to be, it wasn't accepted halacha, there's a bach that comes along and says that we don't hold this, and then the proper behavior is not to do this. But nevertheless, Tosfos says over here, V'yeshlomar du'asir elishosa kach tadir. That's only if this is the only way that he engages with his wife. Shelo titaber, so she won't get pregnant, v'yachis yofa, and ruin her beauty. Avim rov tashmisho kedarka, most of his relations with his wife are in the normal manner of possible conception, then it would be permissible, eshaber akrai mitaveh. But in some, circumstances, this is a desire of his, la shelo kedarka, he wants to do this, then shari, then it's mutarit. And same thing with the Ervonan. Ervonan only engaged Tamar in this way, and therefore they were punished. But had they had relations here normally, plus a little bit Shaloka Darka, that's okay. So it also says that by a mute, if the most of the engagements of the individual with the wife are done in a manner that is done Kedarka, then Shaloka Darka sometimes, or the Shchata Zera sometimes is not a problem. Because that own problem, it's a problem, is that the only engagement, that's the only way that you interact with the woman. So based on that, Tosus permits certain things that would seem impermissible. And again, when it comes to Aloha, the Bach adds in, and there would definitely be Derech Kabbalah and Derech Tusha, that we do not permit these items even when it's the Shaloka Darka. Ein darko bekach. So the Gemara says, El Amar Rava, that you have to amend what Rava said, Benoach shebal eshit chaveiro shelo kedarka, a non-Jew who has relations with his friend's wife, shelo kedarka, patur. In that case, he's patur. My taima. Because it says, Bi ishto, velo beishit chaveiro. We know that the restriction for the Ben Noach is he's not allowed to have relations with a married woman. Right? It's that eshit ish is restricted. But it says, V'davak. The term that modifies Ishto is davak. Velo shelo kedarka. The only time you restrict an eshet ish is if it's davak, if it's done kedarka. But if shelo kedarka, then he is permitted. And of course, for a Jew, it's impermissible in both ways. So therefore here it would be the kedusha of the Jew is higher, and the restrictions are higher because of that. Non-Jew that hits a Jew is chayav mita, shenemar, because it says in Mitzrayim when Moshe goes out to see his brethren, it says that he sees a Mitzri that is hitting a Jew. And then he says, "Vayikhen kovacho, vayarki enish, vayachet the mitzri." And then he goes and puts the mitzri to death, kills the mitzri. Why did he kill the mitzri? The mitzri was hitting a Jew, so he puts the mitzri to death for that. Vamar Rav Chanina, hasuter lo oh shel Yisrael, person who basically slaps the face or hits the cheek of a Jew, ki ilu suter lo oh shel hashkinat, it's a ki ilu that he hits the Panim of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's like a slap in the face of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shenemar, because it says, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Mukesh Adam Yala Kodesh. So the meaning of the Pasuk meaning is that a person that is Chute, the Mukesh Adam, those that trip, the Chataim, the trip of Adam, Yala Kodesh, will undermine his Kiddusha. But the way we're reading over here is Mukesh Adam, the person who hits an Adam, and as Rashi points out, Adam is a term that's used for Yisrael, because Atem Kuyam Adam Velohim. And therefore, when it says Mukesh Adam, someone who gives a knock or hits an Adam, Yala Kodesh. So it's as if he was Yala Kodesh. Yala over here means the cheek. And therefore, it's as if either he hit the Gloeta Kodesh, it's as if he hit the cheekbone of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that one who is Kodesh. Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, Amagbiya Adol Chaviro, someone who lifts up his hand to hit his friend, Avo Bishlo Iko, even if though he doesn't carry it out, Nikra Rasha. He's still called a Rasha. Shneemar is the next case by Moshe Rabbeinu, who goes out and he sees Shnei Rashim Nitzim, he sees two people fighting, and it says, Vayom Rasha, Lama Takereacha. It says to the Rasha, why are you going to hit your friend? So it's Lama Hikita Lonamar. It doesn't say, why did you hit your friend already, but rather, Lama Take, why are you going to hit your friend? Avo Bishlo Iko, even though you haven't hit him yet. So the fact that he was in the process of hitting his friend was enough for Moshe to call him a Rasha. So Nikra Rasha. Ziri Amar Rabbechina Nikra Chotet. Not only is he called a Rasha, he's called a Chotet Shenemar, because it says by Bnei Eli, it says Vimlo Lakachti B'Chazaka. Bnei Eli tell the people when they bring their kabanot up to the Mishkan Shiloh, they say, if you don't give what we want, we're going to take it by force. We're going to steal it. And about the Bnei Eli, it says that their sin was grave. So over here, it calls it a chata. Those that are stealing or taking by force, right, they're called chutim. That his hand should be cut off. He's deserving of having his hand come off. Because it says, uzro'o rama tishaber. The one who raises a hand, a strong arm, tishaber, should be broken. So over here, the person who steals, who uses his hand to steal, tishaber, should be broken. Rav Huna katz yada. Rav Huna actually took this literally and took it to a point, and he cut someone's hand off. Someone was hitting other people. He went in and cut their hand off. So Rashi claims this is a knas. It was a fine. This person was going around hitting people. They could not control him. And therefore, Rav Huna imposed a knas on him in order to stop this type of behavior. And Rashi says that we know that from earlier in the Masechta, what we said, which is that Beis Din are allowed to be makin. Beis Din can give out punishments, even though they're not the din. In order to prevent misbehaviors or injustices or chataim, they can punish in order to set an example. So over here, they punished him by cutting off his hand. That's what Rashi says, but Rashi claims that it's a knas. Tosus on the hand says, no, it's mikra adin. This is the din. You cut his hand off. First of all, he darshens it from a pasuk. Number two is the Gemara Nida, when it quotes about something else, that a person's hand should be cut off, it says, kid Rav Huna, like Rav Huna, that it's a din, that you cut off a hand in these types of instances. So therefore, Tosus says, wait a minute, we have other cases where that include Rav Huna, where he didn't cut someone's hand off when they hit another individual. So Tosus differentiates between whether he's ragil b'kach or not. Another Tosus, Shani Hocha, in our case over here, d'muad v'ragil b'kach haya. It was so commonplace. He did it all the time. There was no preventing him. There was no stopping him. This was his modus operandi. The only way he knew how to interact with people was to hit. So in that case, he cut it off. Nakod begrof. So there, didnehu b'kach. That's the din. And same thing with the other quote from Nida. But in a case where happens once or twice, it's a exceptional case, over there we find him, we give him a knas, we're not going to cut his hand off in that instance. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ein lo takana ela kvura. Someone who raises their hand to hit his friend, the only solution for this person is to be buried. Shnemar, v'ish zroa lo ha'aretz. So now really it's a rhetorical question that's asked in Yov. Is Israel the strong man? The land belongs to the strong man? So that's the question. But the Gemara is now parsing it differently. He's saying, Ish Zroa, the man who raises his hand up, lo ha'aretz. The only thing that's worthy for him is to be in the ground. I mean, that's for kvura. Rabbi Elazar lo nitna karka ela balei zroot. I mean that Rabbi Elazar says that in order to keep your land, you really need to be a strong man. Shnemar v'ish zroa lo ha'aretz. Because there are so many people come try to steal and encroach on your ownership of the land, therefore a person has to really be vigilant in order to keep his land, so he needs to be ish zroa. It's only the person who should buy land is someone who can take care of it and can handle these situations. Rabbi Elazar lo nitna karka ela balei zroot. Oved admato is balechem. The one who works his field will be satisfied with bread, will be satiated with bread. Imose adam atzmuk eved adama. A person who makes himself a slave to the ground, to the earth, is balechem. Then he will be satisfied. He'll have production. His fields will produce. Vimlav lo is balechem. If he doesn't do that, he will not produce. Meaning that the avudat hakarka is significant, and a significant malacha requires a person to be invest a tremendous amount of time and tremendous amount of himself in order to produce the crops that will come out. So only if a person makes that investment, in the end will he have something that is of value. If he doesn't make the investment, then his fields will not produce that which he needs. Okay, we'll stop over here.